Welcome to this edition of Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. In this weekly show, you'll catch two fund managers who'll share their views on a selection of listed companies both here and overseas. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be notified of new episodes each week. And don't forget that all the views expressed are general in nature and you should seek your own advice before making any decisions of your own. That's all from me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the latest edition of Buy, Hold, Sell.
Hello and welcome to Livewire's Buy, Hold, Sell. My name is Chris Conway and today we're taking a deep dive into growth investing. We'll be learning what financial, management and competitive advantage factors are important when selecting awesome growth companies. And to do that, we're joined by DAT Capital's Emmanuel Datt and OC Funds' Aaron Yeo. Welcome, gents.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Aaron, I'll come to you first. Why should our audience consider investing in growth stocks and why now?
We like to consider things from a balanced portfolio perspective and we see growth companies having a solid footing within a broader balanced portfolio. At OC Funds, we're small cap investors and from our perspective, the small cap space is generally a pretty good hunting ground for the next great growth company. I think from a macro perspective as well, growth both globally and also here in Australia domestically has actually held up reasonably well. And it's interesting with regards to the interest rate environment, things are still very volatile. But despite this, I think you've seen a lot of companies actually readjust to a higher interest rate environment, have a closer look at their cost bases. So earnings are actually at a more sustainable footing and the outlook actually looks really good for growth companies.
Emmanuel, what about you? Why should the audience consider growth stocks?
Yeah, sure. At DAT Capital, growth is really attractive to us for three primary reasons. The first being that investing in growth with the right manager can ultimately provide your returns over the long term, generally at a rate in excess of inflation, which is very important. Secondly, we also like the ability to pick idiosyncratic returns, so returns that are detached from the market by picking great growth companies. And thirdly, I believe now is the time because we're seeing such compelling valuations in terms of the divergence between valuations between the large caps and the lower or the smaller end of the market. Whereas historically, small companies are typically valued more highly than large caps. We're seeing the opposite effect at the moment.
Emmanuel, I'll stay with you. What is one financial factor that every growth company that you look at needs to have?
Yeah, sure. One very important financial metric that we look at is top line growth. Mm-hmm. It's not purely top line growth that you have to be focused on because there's a lot of aspects in growth companies that are non-financial. And I think in many cases, the financial outcomes can be a result of great things that are happening fundamentally in non-financial metrics as well.
Fantastic. Aaron, I'll come to you.
Look, I think Emmanuel's actually stolen my thunder here. I was going to go with sales growth as well. I think it depends on what stage of its life cycle a company is at. I think for a more mature business, typically sort of more earnings growth driven measures are what we sort of look at. But for all companies, I think you have to have strong sales growth. That sort of sales growth helps so with that earnings growth as well. So if there was one metric, I'd go, top line growth.
Aaron, I'll stay with you. We're going to shift the conversation to management now. From a management perspective, what must growth companies have to make it into your portfolio?
Management with skin in the game and alignment with shareholders with regards to, having a reasonable ownership and incentive structures in place that are aligned with the performance of the share price and for returns for shareholders is probably the one is a must have from our perspective.
Emmanuel, what about you? From a management perspective, what must the company have?
So the way we look at it is we categorise it basically into a range of characteristics and I like to call it the three I's.
Yep.
So the first I is integrity. So a track record, the experience at the sort of management level and board level that they've been there, done that before. Mm-hmm. The second one is intelligence, which is also a very important characteristic. Yep. The ability to make the right decision at the right time in a prudent, impartial manner. Thirdly is incentives. So we like to see strong alignment, whether it be via shareholding or some other mechanism. As part of the overall proposition.
Emmanuel, I'll stay with you. We'll talk competitive advantage now. What does that mean to you?
Competitive advantage to me means scarcity. You know, scarcity in itself could be, intellectual property, whether it be, culturally, know, or whether it could be legally via patent or something like that, or it could be via commercial agreements that provide exclusivity. In the resource space, it could be, a unique ore body or project, and the list can go on and on, basically.
Yeah. Fantastic. Aaron, what about you? Competitive advantage? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the business that the company is in, maybe where it is within its sort of life cycle as well. And it can come in various different forms. I think good examples of that would be sort of scale. Maybe you see it in some of the retail names that we sort of look at. If you look at, say, a business like Lovisa, for instance, because of the scale of its business, it's able to get good terms with its suppliers and pass it on to consumers in the form of good, attractive prices. Or it could be similar to sort of Emmanuel's commentary about, a scarce ore body, an asset that is hard to replicate. I think a good example of this would be the diversified industrials business Mars Group. They've got, quarries in attractive regions within regional Queensland, New South Wales, in Victoria, that if you were to go out there and try and look for a permit to start one, it's pretty much next to impossible there. So I think that's an example of what a competitive advantage is to me. It's a factor that helps a business sort of outcompete its competitors, in essence.
Here's where the rubber meets the road. We've asked the gents to bring along a stock that meets all three of the criteria that we've just talked about. Aaron, I'll stay with you. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so my stock that meets all these criteria is the wealth management platform Hub24. Hub24, firstly, from my perspective, their key competitive advantage is their product. They've invested in it over the last decade, and it's always top of the pops in terms of product functionality. In terms of the market it services, both the financial planner and the and everyday consumer market, I'd say from a financial planner perspective, compliance is an increasing burden for those guys, and it really sort of helps them operate their businesses more efficiently. So there's a real sort of demand and unmet need that these guys are fulfilling. In terms of management, the long-standing CEO within that business is a gentleman by the name of Andrew Alcock. He's got significant skin in the game, he's been in the business for a long time, and he's as passionate today as he was the first time I met him 5 years ago. He's looking 3 to 5 years ahead, always looking to innovate and reinvest in his business. So I think, he's an example of a CEO we really like. And then bigger picture-wise, I think Hub's barely scratched the surface in terms of the growth opportunity, even though it's been so, it's experienced rapid growth. It's only at between sort of 6 to 7% share of the broader platform market. And this compares to the larger peers at between sort of 10 to 15% share at present still. So there's a huge opportunity ahead of it. We're really positive and think it can continue to grow well in the double digits for the next sort of 3 to 5 years.
Thanks, Aaron. Share price is up 12% year to date. Emmanuel, what have you got for us? What stock ticks all those boxes?
One that comes to mind is a stock called Clarity Pharmaceuticals, trading on the ASX under CU6. So Clarity is a clinical stage radiopharmaceutical company. It has a whole suite of defensible novel IP, focused primarily on oncology, basically, so the treatment of cancers. What we really like about this is that there's a global TAM associated with it. Sort of the prime, the most advanced program is actually focused on the treatment of prostate cancer. So, of course, it's a very major issue that they're trying to treat. It ticks all our boxes in terms of the ability to grow rapidly through de-risking over time through the various clinical trials, as well as significant partnerships potentially. And the management team have great alignment, being large holders of stock in the company as well.
It's up 76% year to date, and it did rally sharply recently. Yeah. So well done. That's all we have time for today. We hope you enjoyed that episode of Buy, Hold, Sell. If you did, why not give it a like? And don't forget to follow our YouTube channel, because we're adding lots of great content every single week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis and insights. Register for free online at livewiremarkets.com and you'll discover